Pirates versus Tyrants. This is the Tom Wren Show, where we practice piracy on the enemies of freedom and liberty. How many of you know that the old movie, Kindergarten Cop, you remember Kindergarten Cop? You remember Arnold Schwarzenegger was in there? This was before he became woke and insane. And it was a cute movie. He had this big ogre guy who had this job. He was I think he's an undercover cop. He worked in some school and he was teaching kindergarten. And everybody's like, what is this dude doing as a kindergarten teacher? Because he was not a stereotypical kindergarten teacher. And within it, one of my favorite lines of all times and probably one of the more relevant lines for our times. The baby in the show said, quote, boys have a penis and girls have a vagina, unquote. Well, the kindergartners of that day apparently knew more than we do today. And I'm not trying to be inflammatory. I wanted to perk your ears up a little bit there with that comment, but I'm not trying to be inflammatory. But I do want to talk about this whole gender nonsense that we're dealing with, right? To be clear, I think we need to start out, if we're going to have this conversation, by laying some ground rules. Ground rules are important because I need people to understand the difference between hate and disagreement, okay? I don't hate anybody. I don't care if you're gay or straight. I don't care if you're a 45-year-old dude that wants to go through a surgery and call himself a 45-year-old chick. Don't care. Don't care what you do in your personal life and think it's absolutely your right to do what you want to do. Okay? As a Christian, I may or may not agree with your actions, but as a Christian, I also don't have the right to judge you as a person. I can only judge the actions, and I should encourage you to do what I think is right, but I shouldn't be judgmental. I shouldn't be forcing myself upon you. I should just be trying to live and embody God's word. I fail in that all the time, which is why I'm not in any sort of a Christian position of authority to order anyone or to judge anyone or to do anything with anyone. So I think we got to love our neighbors, and that's really the most important aspect of this. But with that said, loving our neighbors does not mean enabling people to have issues, particularly kids, right? So before we get fully into this whole gender nonsense, let me start out by just disclosing this terrible, terrible secret that I've been living with for all 46 years of my life. I'll be 46 next month, actually. But so here it is. Ready? I'm male. And I'm probably toxically masculine. Yep, you heard it. I'm admitting it. I'm owning it. Maybe I should repent for it. I don't know. I'm not going to repent, though, and I'll tell you why. I don't think you should have to repent if you're not. I don't think you should have to feel bad if you're a very feminine male or a feminine girl or a tomboy. Or a boy that pretends he's a girl, or a girl that pretends she's a boy. I don't care what you are, and you don't have to apologize for it. In fact, not only do you not have to apologize for it, I hope you own it and everything that goes with it, right? So I'm owning that I'm a toxically masculine guy. And I'm going to talk about what I think that means in a minute, but I'm owning that. So I'm sure I'll get Twitter hate or social media hate or something because, oh, this guy, he's a toxic masculine monster. Well, you know what? I don't care. You can call me whatever you want. It literally makes zero difference in my universe. Quite proud of my characteristics, or I'd change them. If I don't like who I am, I'm going to change who I am. Okay, so yeah, toxic masculinity, I'm in. That's me, right? I like chainsaws. I like big tools. I like breaking things and with big hammers and doing all the things that are very traditional, stereotypical guy. It's fun to start fires. It's fun to watch things explode. I don't think there's ever been a video of a groin kick that didn't make me laugh unless it was my own. I mean, these are guy things, right? You know, I have a wife. She's wonderful. She rolls her eyes at me constantly. She doesn't think the same things are funny, but my wife is not a toxically masculine guy. So we've learned to accept and to recognize that we are different. We are not the same person. We do not have the same characteristics. And, you know, we also don't even have the same sense of humor on certain things. Those differences are crucial. Those differences are the things that we embrace as a couple, and that we embrace, and that makes our marriage good, and that makes all the things we have good. And they're good, right? But my toxic masculinity means something, right? So what does it mean to be a man? It's called toxic masculinity at this point, but what does it mean to be a man? Well, to me, when I teach my boys, because I have two sons, I teach them about being a man and growing up. And by the way, I actually do believe that it's my responsibility as a dad to teach my sons, right? I don't think it's my job to say, oh, son, there is no right or wrong. You find your own way in the world, and whatever screwed up thing you come up with is fine. Oh, you want to pretend you're a cat today and pee in a litter box at the school? That's fine. By the way, did you know that's a real thing? Did you know that we do have schools in this country that are putting out litter boxes for kids that want to pee in a litter box? That's how screwed up our country is. That's how screwed up all this is. And I'm going to bring that all back around. But for right now, as a toxically masculine man, when I'm teaching my sons, what I'm teaching them are certain values. In our home, and you know, here's the thing that's interesting. Remember, I said in our home. Now, I'm not telling you how to live in your home. Don't care if you have a gay family. Don't care if you have a straight family. Don't care if you married your goat. Don't care. You do your thing. In my home, where I refuse to accept your judgment on how I live and don't care whether you like how I live and am willing to stand for how I live, which is key, by the way, right? I mean, I'm okay with who I am, which is why I don't care what you think. See, the people who are trying to force me to believe or accept their way of life, they're not okay with who they are. That's why they need me to accept it. Well, they can forget it. I don't. But they can live it. I don't care. It's not my job to judge them, but don't ask me to accept it as normal or okay, right? You know, you got four wives, or, you know, you're a dude that wears girls' clothing and this and that and other. Yeah, whatever, do it. I don't mind. I'm not judging you, but I'm also not interested in the actions, and I don't view it as normal. So when I'm teaching my kids about being a man, what I'm teaching them is that there's right and wrong. I'm teaching them that there are things worth standing for. I'm teaching them to respect women. How about that one, right? Toxic masculinity. How's that for you? I ask my kids to hold the door for their mother. I hold the door for their mother. I open the car door for her, as long as I remember. We've been together long enough that sometimes I forget. I teach my boys to respect women, to appreciate them for who they are. When mom looks at something different than dad and her two sons, I don't teach them that mom is less. I don't teach them that mom's opinion's garbage. I stand beside mom and say, listen, mom's got a different perspective, and mom's a different person. And yeah, all three of us tend to agree and think this way, but remember, mom's a girl. And she's got differences, and we got to embrace those. We got to accept those. You know, that is what it is. I teach my kids to love and respect their mother. And if mom and I disagree about something, I teach my kids how to deal with that. Not to belittle mom, or to let, you know, we don't belittle each other, especially in front of the kids. Not that we've never had a fight. We try to teach our kids to respect other people's opinions and positions and listen, but make your own judgments, right? So these are things that I guess are evil in some way. Somehow, you know, I shouldn't be doing that. I also teach my kids not to hate anybody, right? My boys, they shouldn't hate somebody because they choose to live a different lifestyle. I mean, if you're gay, or if you're bi, or if you're whatever you are, well, you know, listen, again, I don't have to love your actions to love you as a person. And I don't have an issue with it. I just don't care. You do you. Where I'm running into issues, though, is with all the people, and it's what I was talking about a few minutes ago, the people who are trying to force their views on others, people who cannot own who they are, they can't accept who they are. So they try and force it on others. This whole LGBTQ, whatever it is, community, you know, they keep pushing us to try and accept whatever sort of thing they've got going on. And I'm sorry, but there are limits. Okay. So if what you're, here's how this works for me. It's not my business to know what you do behind closed doors, but it's also not your business to put it in my face. I don't tell you what I do with my wife when no one's around, and I don't want to know what you do with whatever you're doing it with. I don't need to know. There's no pride in that. I don't have a straight parade once per year telling everybody how proud I am that my wife and I do whatever it is that we do. That's nobody's business. And I don't want to know what you do. I don't care what you do. Just do it. Don't tell me about it. If you accept who you are, you don't need other people's approval. And the greatest gift I could give to some of my gay friends or to the people who I know that are, you know, different from me in that is self-acceptance. You don't need me to accept you. Be proud of who you are. Just like I'm going to get hate on Twitter, on social media, on all these things because I, am talking about this. It doesn't change my opinion. It's not going to have any impact on me. I don't care what they say. So in the same way, the greatest gift that I could give to people who are taking a different path is to say to you, accept yourself. If you're okay with this, yes, you're going to get some people who are jerks and treat you like crap. You're going to get people who run their mouths. But you know what? If you're okay with who you are, it doesn't matter. You just ignore them. Sticks and stones, right? That's not what happens. A lot of the LGBTQ community seems to have an issue with who they are. And I say that not because I care what they do, but because they won't keep it out of my face. I just don't want to see it. I don't want to hear it. I don't care. I just don't care. Do your thing quietly where I don't have to watch. I don't ask you to watch what I do. Why would I want to watch what you do? The other issue I have, which is much more profound, is children. The continual push to sexualize children, to expose them to things that they don't need exposed to. I am a dad. Children are not sexual in nature at kindergarten. They just aren't. I don't care who you are. I don't care what your degrees are. If you're looking at a child that way, you need counseling. And I'm going to tell you, if you are a child sex predator or anything even related, if you're looking at a child that way, there is something wrong with you. It is not acceptable. And in my society, in my world, and where I'm at, that is not something that I will ever tolerate or accept. And so why are you talking about kids this way? Why are you teaching kids prior to them? I mean, listen, before puberty, kids are basically, they don't really care. They're not really into this whole thing. So why are you worried about pushing this on kids who are younger and younger and younger? Why not let them be kids and not worry about these things? And for God's sakes, the idea that a child who hasn't even entered puberty could make a decision that would result in them getting puberty blockers or other such things, that is child abuse. Okay, I am absolutely of the opinion that is child abuse. I think that we need to have someone arrested for that. I hope that at some point we'll find a local county law enforcement agency or someone who's got the courage to actually arrest someone for this. It is absolutely child abuse. There should be state laws recognizing it explicitly as child abuse. It's just nothing else. You're giving these children lifelong health problems when they're not even old enough to know anything. I mean, you know, an 8-year-old on a puberty blocker, it's sick in the head. It is absolutely repulsive in every sense of the word. And I just simply can't tolerate it. I just find it sickening. What kind of a sick pervert is doing this? You know, all we're doing is we're causing problems with people, endless problems. These kids will grow up, they'll have psychological disorders. They're going to have all sorts of problems. I mean, you know, listen, Everybody called Matt Walsh some sort of a transphobe? It's a transphobe. Listen, until, 2-3 years ago, the World Psychological whatever organization had gender dysphoria as a mental disorder. It's not something that's just okay and you fix it by going through a major surgery. It's an issue, right? I mean, this is a real serious thing. And, you know, if you're an adult and you feel that way and you got to go through this, well, you know, whatever. I who am I to judge? But not kids. Not kids. You know, it used to be that if you were going to go through all that, you spent years going to counseling and kind of working it through and making sure that you're okay. Why? Because you will have lifelong health problems if you go through these things. You know, I can tell you the sky is red all I want. It's still blue. If you were born with a penis, you're still a dude. And if you cut it off, you're going to have issues, right? I mean, I don't know how else to say this. This isn't complicated. Your body was made the way that it is. And if you go screwing with it, you're going to have problems. Not sure what else to say. Okay, so love this show, love this network. I'm very excited to be here, and I need you to support my sponsors. Okay, Cofix, right? Cofix is awesome. You wash your hands, don't you? I wash my hands. Going to the bathroom, things like that. Yeah, maybe wash your hands. Good idea. Why do you do it? I'll get rid of germs, right? And I'm not like a germ phobe. I don't really care too much about germs, but, you know, I got to be smart about these things, right? If you get sick or you're starting to come down with something, you're having some issues, you know, you've got to be aware of that, and you got to do something about it. Where do you get sick? It always sits in your sinuses. It always sits there. Cofix. Cofix RX. If you use the America Out Loud code, you get a discount. So use the America Out Loud code or click on the banner ad. But Cofix cleans your sinuses. It gets rid of those germs. And if you reduce the viral load in your body, if you help your body get rid of those places where the germs are sitting there, you're less likely to be sick. So I ask that you support Cofix and tell them we sent you. Great product. I use it. I want to encourage you to check it out. We'll be right back.
While many things we hear are lies, we know one thing is true. Viruses exist and people get sick. Look, there's no guaranteed way to keep from getting sick, but there is a way to reduce your chances. Cofix RX, the original povidone iodine-based antiviral nasal spray that you hear Dr. McCullough talking about, provides an additional, invisible layer of protection from colds, flu, coronaviruses, and more. Click the banner ad on AmericaOutloud.com and use promo code OUTLOUD for 20% off. Stay protected with Cofix RX.
Trouble getting to sleep and staying asleep is infuriating. Your mind races, you toss and turn, and the harder you try, the harder it is to drift off. And today's fast-paced digital age makes it tougher. You're not alone. Poor sleep affects over 70% of us. The CDC even labeled insufficient sleep a public health epidemic. Advanced nutrition company, Healthy Cell, created REM Sleep to help you quickly fall asleep, stay asleep, sleep deep, and wake refreshed. Unlike other supplements that don't work, REM Sleep is not a pill. It's a gel you swallow with ultra-absorption of science-backed ingredients, supporting all four stages of sleep using calming herbs, amino acids, and sleep hormone support. Over 1,000 reviews with an average star rating of over 4.4 proves it works. Take back your sleep. Go to HealthyCell.com and use limited time code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order. Risk-free. Love it or your money back. Guaranteed. HealthyCell.com. Code OUTLOUD. HealthyCell.com. Code OUTLOUD.
I remember when I was in elementary school, I remember that we the boys, you know, in elementary school, we were looking through the books in the library, and in one of the encyclopedias at one point, there were pictures of some tribe somewhere. I don't know what continent, but it was just regular, like National Geographic type pictures. And it just so happened that this tribe didn't tend to dress fully. I mean, there were some butt cheeks hanging out there. So this was a huge thing, right? I mean, of course, every little boy in elementary school at this point was giggling. Everybody in the universe saw it. Everybody's talking about it in the school. Ha, ha, ha. And the next thing you know, those books are gone because, well, They were nothing but a distraction, and they probably shouldn't have been there. Fast forward to now. Now, I don't know if you're aware of this, but many of our school libraries, including very, very rural conservative schools, have in them books with explicit sex. Okay, I've had some of this sent to me. It is mind-blowing. The stuff that I saw that was sent to me from a rural library, school library in Iowa, right? So we're not talking about New York City. We're not talking about San Francisco. We're talking about a rural school district in Iowa. This stuff made me blush. I literally couldn't believe what I was reading. It was disgusting. They had graphic depictions of just unbelievable, just absolutely unbelievable, explicit gay sex, straight sex, even bestiality. I mean, it's just mind-blowing. And one book that was sent to me, I can't remember which school district this was from, actually had a graphic depiction of sex related to Jesus Christ, gay sex with Jesus Christ. I don't even like saying that, because to me as a Christian, it's blasphemous to even think about. That's just repulsive. Can you imagine the outcry if that had been the Prophet Muhammad? But I don't want to get into the Christian, Islamic, I don't care what you believe. It doesn't matter. You shouldn't be insulting religions. But regardless, why is this in an elementary school library? Or any library, especially a school library? This is sick. It is repulsive. It is offensive. And in elementary school, again, these children, they haven't even hit puberty. The little boys, they aren't really even looking at the little girls. Or, I guess, little boys, but I don't really know that that's happening that often. Until we tell them they should. Why are we talking to sex about children who don't need to know about it? Let them be babies. Let them be babies. You're 8 years old, you're a baby. You're 9 years old, my son's nine. He's a baby. I want him to be a kid. I don't need all this stuff thrown in his face. He doesn't need to know about that. And he sure as hell doesn't need a graphic depiction of what these sick people are putting into the schools. All you're doing is sexualizing children. And if you're doing that, you have a mental disorder. You are a sick monster and belong in some sort of therapy, if not jail. Don't tell me that it's based on science, because whoever's doing a study on sexuality in children probably should be in the same jail or in the same therapy. These people have issues. You shouldn't be looking at children and sex in the same anything. It should be completely separate. As a society, we have to protect our children. And if you aren't willing to protect your children, there's something wrong with you. You're a terrible parent. I'm sorry. I'm going to go out on a limb here at the risk of offending all sorts of people. If you are not willing to protect your children, you are a terrible parent. And if you are using puberty blockers on a child that's 7 years old, you're subjecting them to lifelong health problems. You're screwing up their head, and you're a terrible parent. How's that for offensive? I'm sure that's going to offend some people, but I don't care. At the end of the day, protecting our children is the number one thing we have to do. I am huge on this issue, just not up for debate in my mind. We're not doing it. Now, part of the reason that we're not doing it is because people have not learned to accept themselves. Everybody out there is looking for acceptance from everywhere but within. And this is something I'm being real serious about, and I mean this with compassion. I do. I really, really do. You know, there are people out there who are made differently. And God made us all. And if you're Christian, who are you to judge someone, right? It's between them and God. What I can tell you is that you got to accept who you are. You got to. You can't look for it from me. I'm not going to be able to make you feel okay about who you are. If you're a boy, if you're a girl, if you're some, if you're not, I don't know, whatever you are, be you, own it. But quit putting it on kids. They can't make these decisions. They're not mature enough. Why would you let an 8-year-old make a decision that's going to have a lifelong impact on their health? They can't decide to drink. They can't buy a gun. They can't vote. An 8-year-old can't even testify in court typically. Why in God's name would you say, oh, but my 8-year-old's decided that he wants to be a girl, so we're going to put him on puberty blockers that are going to screw him up for life? Really? My 8-year-old wanted to pretend he was a dinosaur. Should I put him on some sort of a dinosaur gene therapy? That's just stupid. They're kids. Have you lost your mind? So that's really the thing here, right? We have to have adults, we have to have children, and the adults have to help the children grow to be normal, sane, reasonable adults. And we need to quit listening to perverts that are trying to sexualize our children. If you are sexualizing children, you are a pervert. Now, I'm not against sex education in school. There's a time and a place for it. I don't think it needs to start in kindergarten. There was, at the beginning of this whole transgender thing, I remember when DeSantis was passing his bill about, not allowing sexualization of kindergartners. I remember seeing some lunatic kindergarten teacher whose video went viral somewhere, somehow, whining about how she could no longer talk about her sexuality with her kindergarten class. What the hell is wrong with her? Who's doing that? That's just sick and perverse. Why would you do that? I don't want to talk about that with kindergartners. Hell, I'd be uncomfortable talking about that with adults. Anyways, we've got to get people to accept who they are and quit looking for it elsewhere, because people who are looking for acceptance are the only reason that we have this nonsense. We have this nonsense because there's a lot of people that can't accept themselves, so they look for acceptance outside of themselves. Then they try and get other people to accept them, and they're offended if you don't accept them. Well, let me go back to what I said at the beginning of the show. As a Christian, I'm not entitled to judge you as a person, right? I can judge actions, not people. I need to love my neighbor, treat everyone with love and respect, everyone. That includes gay, straight, transgender. That includes every letter of the alphabet that's in this LGBT whatever stuff. It just doesn't matter. Everybody should be treated with love and respect. But I don't have to agree with you. I don't have to agree with you. And you know what? You shouldn't care. Why does my opinion matter? It doesn't. It's just that simple. So, yeah, that's kind of that. This is a topic that I'm going to keep coming back to. As a guy who is truly in touch with his toxic masculinity, I will tell you that it's some of the stuff really fires me up. It fires me up. Also, as a father of boys, right? So as a father of boys, why aren't my boys supposed to have any male role model superheroes? Why is it that Marvel's doing away with every normal male superhero? Why is Disney trying to belittle men on every single opportunity? Yeah, Captain America was a great hero in the original movies. I thought he was awesome. Yeah, he wasn't evil. He tried to do right. What a great example of a role model. Now we've got just the whole Marvel franchise going woke. And by the way, it's flopping in large numbers. I think Black Panther did okay, but Thor completely flopped. And I can tell you why. I saw it. It was horrible. I don't care if that stuff's part of a storyline, but when you just push it in there to push it, that's no good. But more importantly, what I do care about is why can little boys not have heroes that are other normal little boys? What if you are a normal little boy? What if you're not a transgender little boy? What if you're not a gay little boy? What if you're just a normal little boy? What if you are a heterosexual, normal little boy? You shouldn't have a hero? Why is it that that is the one group that's wrong, right? We're supposed to demonize people because they're heterosexual and male. If you're a male heterosexual, you should be demonized, because I don't know why. I haven't really understood this. No one's been able to explain to me why it's okay to demonize little boys, but we have to support everything else. Here's what's really interesting, I think, that's happening now, though, is we see a lot more some of this, I don't know, this just mess of just insanity, because everything's about sex for these people. Everything. I mean, literally. Some of this mess of insanity is resulting in people turning on themselves, right? So the feminists and the transgender, you know, there's been some infighting there. There's been some infighting between homosexuals and transgenders. So all sorts of mess here, right? Nobody likes each other. And again, I don't see any reason to hate anybody. Just you do you and keep it out of my face. Don't care what you do. I do care if you invite my 12-year-old to a drag show. And by the way, I wouldn't let my 12-year-old go to a straight burlesque show either. And if I found out someone took him there, well, they'd probably lose a few teeth, frankly. Yeah, because I am in touch with my toxic masculinity, by the way. Yeah. So I'm still okay with the fact that, you know, I'd punch someone in the head if I had to. If you screw with my kids, we're going to have an issue. So, and by the way, also, not apologizing. I'm just a dude. I'm good with it. A heterosexual male. I know that makes me evil, but I'm okay with me. Yeah, that's okay. Don't care if you're not like me, but also don't care if you don't like me. So I want my kids to have heroes. I want my kids to have people to look up to. It's okay to have people like them. And guess what? I have no issue with there being other heroes out there that look different, act different, that are different. I got no issue with giving everybody a role model. But shouldn't a role model be a role model, first of all? And second of all, why can't my kids have role models? What's wrong with that? Well, apparently there's a lot wrong with it. I don't know what exactly it is, but there is a lot wrong with it, I guess. But I refuse to accept it. I just refuse to accept this. Anytime something's not real, I have a hard time with it, right? So if you tell me you're a boy, but you don't have the body parts, it doesn't work for me, right? You're someone who maybe you feel like a boy, maybe you want to be a boy, but you're not. It's just that simple. And if you're a boy and you don't have the body parts to be a girl and you wear a dress, you're just a boy wearing a dress. Real simple, right? I don't want to overcomplicate this. I like to keep things very, very straightforward. I don't understand why we can't be honest about things, right? So boys and girls are different. I think that's a great thing. Shouldn't we celebrate diversity? I love the differences. My wife and I, again, 180 degrees opposite in many, many ways. It makes me better, right? She makes me better. The women in my life, the women who are in and around my life have made me a better man. It's challenging. They're different, but that's diversity. The value of diversity is not the label. The value of diversity is the perspective and the differences. If we're all the same, there's no diversity. So the idea that, you know, you can be a boy, you can be a girl, you're the same thing. Well, that's not true. That's not true. And we should embrace the differences, right? We should accept them. My wife's not less than me. My wife is probably more than me. A lot of the women that work with me and around me, they're probably my betters. Just because I'm okay with who I am doesn't mean I got to knock them down. But that's what the left is doing. That's what these psychopaths who keep pushing child sex and child this and child that, they just, you know, so we've got to do something about it. It's not acceptable. And thanks Mitch McConnell for passing the marriage bill. I appreciate that. You know, I mean, but we all know what kind of respect you have for anything that your base believes in. So, although I will say this, by the way, just so everybody knows that I'm an equal opportunity offender, As a lawyer, I will tell you that you have to have a legal mechanism to deal with people who are gay and who are together. I don't care what you want to call it, but you do have to have a legal mechanism for dealing with it. But that's a state issue, not a federal. And the idea that they're pushing it from the federal is it's a violation of states' rights. And that's one of my biggest issues with it, because it's simply not legal, in my opinion, to do. Let's get back to embracing who we are and helping our kids to do the same. You get me going on this toxic masculinity, I get all fired up, and I'm pretty fired up today because, like I said, my boys can't have any role models. Everything I'm seeing about this is nonsense. Just gotta fix this whole situation. Tired of the perverts perverting our kids in school. Tired of the people who are creating this whole generation of kids who have no idea what's right or wrong or anything else. And we got to fix this. Okay. So that's that. I want to tell you guys about another great, great sponsor we have. The Genesis HOCL, right? The Genesis HOCL is an atomizer. It's not an air cleaner. It's an atomizer. And I suppose it cleans the air because what it does is it takes this solution. You put this solution in there, and it atomizes it and puts it into the air. And what that solution does is it cleans the air. It actually kills the bacteria or viruses or whatever else is floating around out there that can make you sick. I really like the product, and you get a big discount on it if you include the America Out Loud in the checkout, right? Or if you click on the banner ad. But I would urge you to check this out, right? I love that when, you know, for example, if my kids are sick and they're passing it around, well, run this thing, right? Run this thing, make sure that the kids can't get it, that they, that things are better. Keeps the air clean, makes it so that it doesn't necessarily pass around through the whole house. So I like this. It's a good product. I like what it does. I like how it works. And the whole thing makes good sense. Keep your air clean. Get the Genesis HOCL from the America Out Loud banner ad or include us in the checkout. We'll be right back.
Here on America Out Loud, we emphasize optimal health, and air is the most essential element for life. The average person inhales over 35 pounds of air every day. Yet we seldom think about how to rid the air of pathogens swiftly and safely when we need to. The Genesis Fogger Plus HOCL is the only way to quickly and naturally restore air to its optimal condition. Visit genesisfogger.com/outloud for a free ebook on everything you need to know about HOCL and receive a 15% discount on the Genesis Fogger with promo code OUTLOUD. With Genesis, you'll be ready for what's next.
People often ask me, Malcolm, how do we fight the corruption? Robert Frost has said it best, freedom lies in being bold. Well, for six incredible years, bold is America Out Loud. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
We wouldn't go a day without washing our hands, brushing our teeth, and washing our nose. Well, wait, we wash our nose? Yes, the number one place where bacteria, viruses, and pollen enter the body is through the nose. So the average person breathes over 23,000 times a day. That's 23,000 opportunities for bacteria, viruses, and irritants to get into your nose and make you sick. For an extra layer of protection, wash your nose with Clear. That is Clear, X-L-E-A-R. Clear's drug-free nasal spray features xylitol, an ingredient proven to block adhesion of many nasty bacteria and viruses, and effectively clean, not just rinse like a saline, but wash your nose. Clear nasal spray quickly alleviates congestion, opens your airway, and ensures your body's natural defenses are strong. Read the research studies for yourself at clear.com. That's X-L-E-A-R.com. Protect yourself from the pathogens and junk you breathe. Pick up a bottle for you and your family today.
Last segment today, boy, I've got to tell you, I'm a little bit fired up on this issue as well. So I want to talk about COVID, right? So we're watching the COVID narrative collapse. We're watching all the lies come out. I started fighting COVID in March of 2020. you know, 14 days to flatten the curve. Well, those 14 days were completely unconstitutional. That constituted house arrest without due process for the entire country almost. It was one of the most unconstitutional acts in American history. And to this day, no one's dealing with it. No one's talking about it. We all just forget it and move on. It was followed by every sort of illegal act you can imagine. Unequal protection of the laws, censorship, violation of the rights of the freedom of religion. I mean, you name it. I would have a hard time listing too many constitutional principles that weren't destroyed during COVID. It was ridiculous. I started fighting right away, and everybody told me I was a conspiracy theorist. I was nuts. Oh, that Renz, this is the worst disease ever. It's going to kill 98 billion people, and the world is going to end, and Bill Gates will be happy, though, because his population reduction plans will work. Okay, I just had to throw that in there to tweak people. But here's the deal. Everything I was saying was right. I was right in 2020. Right? We filed a lawsuit. I want to say the first lawsuit, the first big lawsuit, I started fighting right away, but the first major lawsuit I filed, I think went into court in either August or September of 2020. Court just couldn't believe what we were saying was true, even though I had hundreds of citations in my complaint, hundreds. There was more documentation on that complaint, 700 plus pages with attachments. It was very well documented. We knew everything they were saying was a lie back then. It is really, really beyond question and beyond doubt that this whole thing was fraud from the beginning. We now know I have the lawsuit in New York against EcoHealth Alliance. We now know, and the House report backs this up, plus our whistleblower, plus everything else, that this was created in the Wuhan lab. They created this disease. And by the way, we have evidence that indicates that when they created this disease, they created the cure. What? What's that you say, Renz? The vaccine, right? That vaccine that they were able to pull together in 3 days? It looks like they were working on that quite a bit earlier. Huh. Well, more on that later. But, going back to 2015, the response to this was garbage. Now, recently, we talked about the fact that I think that the DOD was aware of what was going on. I think they used PSYOPs-type principles to really try and manipulate people in this. I mean, if you look, CDC, you can look at the academic journals on this. I have lots of evidence. Yeah, the principles that they were using were really about manipulation, about fear. They're trying to use fear to sow, to get people to do what they wanted, right? And it worked really well. I mean, people generally listened. They masked up, even though it was the stupidest thing ever. Problem I have with this is that we're not talking anymore about 2020. Let's talk about all these lies. Where's the accountability for the scumbags that outright lied? They knew they were lying. There was no question. There was no doubt that what they had to say was untrue. They were lying. And how do we know they were lying? Well, because we had the documents back then. Do you know that before the lockdowns, I was working on a master's in health science? So yeah, I'm a lawyer, but I was also I was working on this master's in health science, and it just so happened that January of 2020, when COVID starts being talked about, I was doing master's work. I wrote about COVID. I did an evidence-based practice paper on COVID. And when I was doing the paper, what I was going to do was I wanted to compare the dangers from COVID to the dangers from the yearly flu to the dangers from some other diseases. That was the intent of the project. That's what I was going to do. I actually had to stop in the middle of the project. What? Why is that? Well, because what I found when I was trying to draw comparatives, I wanted to get death rates, case fatality rates, epidemiological data that is the first thing you get whenever you have a pandemic. So if you have a real pandemic, a real crisis going on health-wise, the first thing you want is epidemiological data. And what epidemiological data is it's statistics. It's how many people that get this die. How fast does it spread? Where is it going? You need to know these things so you can figure out a plan to deal with it, right? So I'm looking for the epidemiological data so that I can do a fair comparison between case death rates and spread and all these different things between these different diseases to really get a grasp on how dangerous COVID was. Now, remember, this is in January-ish of 2020. So this is before 14 days to lockdown, flatten the curve. This is before any of this. So I'm doing this research, and what I'm finding is, you know, I can go and I can find, okay, the epidemiology for the flu, the 1918 flu, for the swine flu, for all these different flus. Okay, that's here. Epidemiology for tuberculosis, for, you know, pick your disease. I pull all these statistics up. But when I went to COVID statistics, I would find an asterisk by everything. First of all, it was very hard to find epidemiological data on COVID. And second of all, when you got to the data, there was always an asterisk. And this was really confusing to me, right? Why is there an asterisk? This is science. Science is transparent, right? And by the way, I actually wrote about this stuff on rents-law.com back at the time. Nobody knew about me. I'm a nobody back then. Still kind of a nobody now, but I'm a nobody that's got at least a great show on a great network. And, you know, people have seen me in a few places. But yeah, rents-law.com, I posted an article about this and I talked about this. But what we found was these asterisks pointed to another document, which pointed to another document, which pointed to another document. You had to go 5, 6, 7 documents deep, which, you know, the people in the government know nobody does that except for me because I'm a fruitcake. And ultimately what I found was that the reason that I couldn't get the data was because they weren't sharing it. What they were sharing publicly was a lie. Everything they were saying was a lie. What do I mean by that? Well, they changed the way that they counted deaths, right? In the United States, instead of counting COVID deaths as people who died from COVID, they counted anybody who might have been in contact with COVID as a COVID death. I mean, it was so broad, especially early on before there were tests, that basically everybody was a COVID death. They had to drive the numbers up, and they were doing it intentionally. Then once they got the tests, they ran the PCR tests in a way that were guaranteed to increase the number of cases, right? And I'll get into that maybe in a minute, maybe another show, we'll see. But the point being, though, that I found out that everything they were saying was a lie. It was all meant to manipulate and scare the public. I also found that it fit really well with this document that I'd found from the CDC talking about how they could use fear to push more vaccines and to manipulate the public. It was really a nefarious thing. It looked really shady. Well, going through time, you know, we pushed lawsuits. We were pushing it in the press. We were pushing it everywhere. Naturally, we were censored all over the place. And, you know, and at that point in time, anybody knows my story, nobody. I'm not a big shot. I'm just a little lawyer from a little law firm in a little place. And, you know, it's not like I could do anything to get the word out at the time, but I did everything I could, and we built everything we did based on credibility. But what we said was dead accurate. Nobody has yet to this day been able to dispute our facts. They have been dead right from the beginning. And now, years later, we see Deborah Birx and many of these other people admitting that they were lying through their teeth early on. We know that we knew it back then. Where's outrage? The lockdowns and everything else destroyed small business, destroyed our economy, caused more problems for America than anything that I could point to. I mean, since the Civil War, maybe. I mean, it was really, it might have exceeded the Great Depression. I don't know. It was really devastating to our country. Where's outrage? Where's the outrage? When we know that these people lied and manipulated to us, why are we letting this go? Now, I bring this up for a reason more than to just say I was right and to say, you know, that we should be mad and holding these people accountable for their lies. I also say it because I want to illustrate the number of lies that have occurred. PCR testing, lies. COVID diagnoses, lies. Death numbers, lies. The fact that early treatment doesn't work, lies. The fact that remdesivir does work, lies. The fact that everybody needs to be on a vent, lies. Everything they've said is a lie. Now, why, with people who've admitted lies, admitted lying, and who have done so many nefarious things, why do we keep trusting them? Why would anybody ever get another jab from the people who brought you COVID? Why would you even consider this, right? And I'm not talking about the side effects or anything else, right? We've got them. We know what they are. We've got loads of information on this, and that's for another show. But why would you ever trust these people? Our government has lied and manipulated us on a level that's mind-blowing, but yet we keep believing them. The news media just called us conspiracy theorists, except for now I've been proven right about nearly everything I had to say. Na-na-na-boo-boo. Yeah, sorry. But yeah, I was right. They were liars. They were crooks. We're not only not holding them accountable, we're not talking about it. And you know what? They're using the same tactics elsewhere. The Arizona election. Oh, you're questioning the election. You must be a conspiracy theorist. COVID. Oh, you're questioning COVID. You must be a conspiracy theorist. 2020 election. Oh, conspiracy theorist. They don't have a response. They don't deal with facts. They don't address anything. What they do is they just call us conspiracy theorists and say we don't have to answer that. Well, here's the thing. I'm a thinking individual. I know that that's called racist. Did you know that critical thinking was called racist? I don't know if you heard that. But yeah, critical thinking is apparently racist. I'm sorry. I disagree. I think it's bigoted to suggest that any thinking is racist because it suggests that African Americans or other minorities are incapable of doing it. That's racist. I mean, some of the best critical thinkers I know, it doesn't matter about the color of your skin. What's that got to do with it? Bigots? So, anyways, I'm a critical thinker here. I'm thinking that you calling me a conspiracy theorist may not be a logical argument. Maybe you don't win the argument because you call me a name and then say, well, that's that. Yeah, maybe. One of the things I want to do here, and I like doing on the show, is give you guys some counter arguments, right? So someone says to you, what's going on? Can you believe those conspiracy theorists? You say, well, what basis do you have for suggesting it's a conspiracy theory? Well, you're going to get a lot of silence, right? A lot of silence. You get a lot of silence because they don't have a good answer, or they might cite false facts or incorrect facts. Well, you know, they did a recount. What's that got to do with anything? Recounting the same ballots is probably going to come up with the same results. You think they're going to, you know, not? We want an audit of the machines. We want to know whether or not someone put fake ballots in there. We want an audit of the ballots. We want an audit of the code that's running the machines. And by the way, if I'm a conspiracy theorist, why don't you show me the truth and disprove it? What? Yeah. There's a way to discredit conspiracy theories, right? What you do is let people look at the real information in a transparent way, maybe with a third-party independent audit. I don't know. But the same sort of thing applies to COVID. We're looking at these vaccines that aren't vaccines. They're just bioweapons. They're poison. They're killing everybody. We're looking at this and we're just saying, well, you know, we should trust Anthony Fauci. Why would you ever trust Anthony Fauci? That guy hasn't told the truth in his life. That guy's the biggest lying piece of crap I've ever seen. He's lied to us unendingly. Why would, if you still believe Anthony Fauci, I've got three bridges to sell you. It's insane. we have got to start thinking about things critically again, and we've got to recognize that these people are scumbags, and we've got to start asking each other, how many times do you get lied to before you start questioning the people lying? We got to put that out there, right? They lied to us day one. Deborah Birx has admitted it in her book. Other people have admitted it elsewhere. Fauci changed his story on everything from masking to origins to everything. Fauci is, I mean, he's the epitome of lying. The guy, there's got to be something wrong with him. I don't know. But all of these people have lied so consistently and so repeatedly. You know, I just don't know when or where or why we would ever, ever trust them again. And if you're trusting them with your children's health, man, I don't want to say shame on you, but really, you got to think about this. Now, here's the thing, though. I really feel bad for the people who have trusted, the people who haven't heard this before. And I know with this show, there's a lot of new people that are going to hear this that haven't heard this before. I know as we continue to push the message out, more people are going to hear truth. We got to welcome them in. And I feel bad for you if you've been lied to and you really didn't know. If you really didn't know, I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to pray for your family. And I want to welcome you into the fold with open arms. And you know what? I pray that we can find a way to heal the people who have been made sick by these gene therapy jabs and to help them. We need to help each other. We need to get through this, but we also got to wake people up and get them to quit trusting liars. I want to urge you guys all, if you're willing to, support the America Out Loud Network. Also support me at tomrenz.com. If you click on any of the sponsors, use the promo code RENZ, that'll help. If you're buying gold, I'm recommending it, bhs-pm.com. Listen, we need this sort of stuff. We need the support so that we can fund the fight. I continue to fight. I'm doing the radio, but I'm also continuing to fight on the legal side and fighting everywhere. The more funding we get, the more we can do to help you. Subscribe to my Substack, tomrenz.substack.com, or you can get there from tomrenz.com or renz-law.com. We got to give, send, go. Anything you can do to help us helps us in the fight. I ask that you continue to support us, but I'm going to tell you the first thing I ask for everybody before you give me a dime is if you're inclined to do so, and if you're willing, please send me a prayer.
Thank you all for being here. Fight on. And remember, God's got our back.